Turn to Psalms 24. You know, the kingdom of God is a whole lot about perspective. You have to see it. And God just hides it all in plain sight. It's sitting there, but it's still hidden. All you got to do is just open your eyes to something and like, whoa, that's it. So this is one of those moments that this is it. This is one of those crowning revelations. You know, we've only had like 20 of these, but this is it. He started with me this week. This one I kind of just fell into while I was in prayer, and I started looking at something. I'm like, wow, I didn't see it that way. And it's changed a real dynamic of the way I pray now. So we're going to get into this. I want to talk to you about understanding the face of God. In the Hebrew, it's the panim of God. Psalms 24, as you know, is our theme psalm. This is particular verse in verse 6, it says, this is the generation. See, there's a generation that's going to seek the face of God. The generation that's going to what? Seek the face of God. Or in other words, they're going to come up before the panim of God. We've understood that before as a generation of worshipers, but the face of God's far greater than just a generation of worship. The face of God, there's not very many people in all of history that's ever obtained the face of God. When you get in front of God's face, you can shift a whole generation. He'll give you the power to shift and change and transform an entire generation if you get in front of him the right way. Because you're not going to just get in front of him, you're going to move. And that movement and where he can position you in a finished work, on a finished position, if he can properly position you there, you can speak from that place and all authority in heaven and earth gets released and everything must follow you at that point. Amen. When he said, this is a generation that seek him thy face, O God, this is that generation that will usher forth the King of glory, that will walk up and down in his name, to and fro. The generation will have the ascension and descension of God, but will also have the face of God brought down to them. A whole generation will have the living presence of the Most High God upon their temple and upon their tabernacle. Like it was on Moses, like it was on Solomon, like it was on Christ, it's going to rest upon a generation, upon a whole church. And they are going to be exposed to the face of God both in heaven and in earth. There are two different ways you can behold the face of God. You can behold it in heaven and you can behold it in the earth. Isaiah beheld the face. He got caught up before the throne. Remember when the living creature saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of the glory. Well, he got caught up into all that. Well, that time the whole earth wasn't full of glory. It was going into apostasy and they were going into 70 years of captivity. But the four living creatures, see, they weren't bound by that time frame. They were somewhere else in the Father. They were looking at something else. But Isaiah just happened to get up in there and that whole door shook because that doorway realized that that door was going to be the doorway of a generation that was going to usher in the glorious light and the most glorious move of the Father ever. And that's why that door shook. And so Isaiah in turn comes out. He says, I'll go. But he didn't just prophesy to his generation. He prophesied the generation of Christ. He prophesied to his generation, generation of Christ, and our generation. Three different generations he prophesied to. And it's full of glory for our generation. Just amazing prophecies because he got exposed in one encounter. We are going to be able to stand in front of the Father's face daily. Now, the Father's face is different than his love. It's a whole different operation. You need to know that. The Father's face was what I'm talking about, the face of God as far as him that was. His love's a different story. You can come to him as an orphan and come into his love. He'll make you a son. This type of operation is for the ruling and the reigning, the joint heirship, the shifting, the changing, the transformation. Now, I want to rehearse a little bit before I share with you what he showed me. And I wanted you to go back to Genesis 17. He always had this particular operation in motion. He set it in motion. He had very specific times he would open himself to man. Like this. Now, this particular one, as we know with Abraham, he came down here and did it here in this jurisdiction. The same way he did when he came and set upon Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? That was another encounter with the face of God because Peter, James, and John went up into that glory. And Peter, if you remember, in his book said, we have a more sure word of prophecy concerning the second coming of the Lord, because we were with him on the mountain, saw him. As we know, they get caught up in the glory, and they saw him in his second coming, because when you go into the glory of the Father, you don't know what's going to happen. We see it happen with Moses. As we remember, he backed Moses up in the realm that was, and he wrote the entire beginnings of all the church. Nobody could have caught that kind of information. It could not have been passed down like in that level of detail for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. I think it was 2,400 years. I can't remember exactly. But no one could have caught the beginnings like that, and the emotions and the reactions and all of that, unless they lived it. And so Moses gets to walk out the beginnings all the way through the patriarchs, and he gets to see everything that happened, and he gets to write these books. And so because he gets exposed to the glory, see, Peter, James, and John, as we know, they get exposed to the glory or the face of God. And now they're writing about the second coming, and he calls it, and this is an important part, a more sure word. It's a more sure word. There's different realms of prophecy. Some prophecies are conditional. Some are unconditional. And the one I want to talk to you about today is a whole different realm. It came out of the face of God. But let me just preface this first with Abraham. So we have Moses, we have Peter, James, and John, we have Isaiah. Look at Abraham a minute and what God did with him. Just a marvelous thing with him. We're like, okay, God, give us this counter. How many want an encounter like that with Abraham? Walk up in the front. It'd be awesome if he does, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't actually need that because he already gave you it. Let me say it like this. He gave us enough encounter already to close out the entire ages until the millennial reign of Christ. The face of God was given for a purpose. Now, all we have to do is find out how to tap into it. Amen? Now, we're going to encounter the face of God because he said we are. This generation is going to see his face. But if he never gave any one of us an encounter, we have enough. And because we have enough, after this message, you'll understand we have enough. You can actually get started now in the face of God. Amen. Before that, let's look at Genesis 17 real quick. I'm going to exhort this because I need to get to the other part. This is that part when he comes to Abraham. I mean, he's 99 years old. She's 89. They have not given birth. They're not even near giving birth. And suddenly God just changes everything. He walks up and says, walk before me. He comes and stands in front of Abraham. He says, you're going to walk before me this day. We get the picture like he's going to walk out. What he does is he comes in front of the face of God, and suddenly God shifts him out into the future. When he starts doing this, God changes the way he speaks. In verse 4, he says, thou shall be. In verse 5, you are. And Romans 4, as we know, confirmed this, that I have made. First it shall be, but then I have made. He shifted in one verse from shall be to have made. God just didn't stand there and say, you shall be, and then I have made. That didn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. He moved. Abraham moved in him, and while he was moving in him, he spoke when Abraham arrived at the position. Because when you get caught up in the glory, he said, walk before my face. He said, walk before me. That word before is walk before my face. Panim, come in front of my face, Abraham. And I'm going to make the covenant this day. We're going to finish this day. If you really listen to the scholars, they don't really know when the covenant was made. They say, well, it's made when we make the circumcision. That's the sign of the covenant, but that wasn't the covenant. The covenant, they don't understand when it actually happened because it doesn't really say it happened. It said it was confirmed before in Christ. The law couldn't disannul it. The law had nothing to do with it. God gave the law, but it didn't change the covenant. The covenant was in effect. When God set it in motion, so when he got Abraham rolling, he said, stand before me, Abraham, stand before my face. Now he came down and he finished it. That's basically what he said. I'm coming today. We're finishing this today. We're going to finish the birth. We're going to finish the blessing. We're going to finish the seed. From this day forward, I will swear and be bound by my word that this seed will come into the earth. So when he gets in front of his face, suddenly Abraham starts moving. See, first thing he said, you shall be. But then he starts moving. He starts walking with the Ancient of Days. But this time he's walking out in front. This is what the face of God does. It gets you out of where you are. It gets you out of even the generation you're in. Most of the things that God spoke to Abraham that day had nothing to do with him where he was. He spoke to him of generations He never even obtained to be a father of many nations in his lifetime. God spoke to him way beyond his lifetime. That's what the face of God does. It gets you out in front of even you. Can you imagine him being given delivered of you? God can get you so far out in front that you are delivered of you. Ever said amen. He doesn't even account. That's why he accounted everything as righteousness for Abraham, because he walked him way up. So he starts walking. He goes, today thou shalt be. But then he starts walking. He gets up a certain point in time. See, a father of many nations, I have made thee. See, he wasn't speaking to him where he was anymore. He was speaking to where God was. And he brought Abraham into the place where he was. That a father of many nations, I have made thee. Kings have come out from your loins. I have made kings of thee. I have made nations of thee. You see that? He got him so far out, the kings, the nations, all the way to the confirmation of Christ. And then even the Lord Jesus himself on the earth said it. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And what? He saw it. He got there. And every time God spoke from that position, it was finished. All God had to do is say, and he'd finished nations that day. It didn't even matter that Abraham came back in his body, and a chapter later was laughing at God when God told him, it's going to come out of your own loins. Him and Sarah were both laughing. That unbelief didn't disannul what God did that day. Because when you encounter in the face of God, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. He shifts you out. Well, so we start seeing this in Scripture. I started seeing the other day when I was in this prayer, I saw Jesus hang on the cross, and I see that man talking to him. And he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. And all the scholars were saying, well, you know, a day with the Lord's 1,000 years. He didn't really mean that day. And some people say he really never went to hell. He went straight into heaven because he said, this day. He said, why have you forsaken me? And he says, it's finished. He wasn't standing in that day when he was talking to him. He was standing in paradise. He says, in the finished work, this day you'll be with me where I'm at. Because he was standing 3 days later with him. You see what I'm saying? He's standing up in front. He said, you'll be with me. He's actually saying, this day you'll be with me. That guy is where he is, but Jesus was already shifting him through. He had the capacity to do that. He can move people through time. You remember the boat? He was on the mountain. They went rowing. They rowed 7.5 miles across. They rowed for 8 straight hours, and they got 3.5 miles. They were still right in the middle of the sea, the Bible said. And he could see them. In the middle of a storm with waves, he could see them. Because he was looking at them from their father's eyes. And then the Bible said he walked. He was walking to the other side where he said, I'll meet you. Right? And he was just walking across the water. He wasn't going to stop until they saw him. And when they see him, Peter jumps out of the boat. You know the story. He gets in there. He sinks. Jesus picks him up. And they're standing in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm with waves crashing. And the Lord decides to have a discourse with him. They're standing in the water still, by the way. He goes, why did you doubt? I mean, Peter's probably going, wait a minute, I'm still in the water here. And when he got through talking to him, he puts him back in the boat. Then he speaks and says, be still. And that's when they marveled. Then the Bible says immediately they were on the other side. He shifted a boat and 12 disciples through time. He can materially shift people and things through time. Because he operated in the face of God all the time. He's always with the Father. See, he walked in the glory of the Father. When he says this is the generation, see, Abraham cut that covenant, and he gave birth supernaturally because of that encounter, because of that covenant that happened that day. It legally gave God permission to bring that birth out of him. Sometime your faith will, where it is in this place, it won't work. But you get where he's at, it'll start working. Amen? So how do we get our faith to where he's at? I'm in prayer the other day. Dispensation, the throne, dispensation of the crown. I'm up there acknowledging, going through the kind of constitution. All of a sudden, I see something I never saw before. He said, the book of Revelation is unlike any book in the entire Bible. It's a different kind of book. He said, it's a book of prophecy, but it's different than prophecy. Daniel had the unfolding events of the last days. different men would see things. Zechariah would see things. Haggai would see things. But it's not the same. He said, that's not just a book. And the Spirit of the Lord says, you don't understand the finished work yet. I'm like, I do understand the finished work. I've preached the finished work. I mean, and I'm going through all this. He goes, you don't understand what it means for thy will to be done on the earth as it is done in heaven. You still don't understand that it's done. The cross was a finished work. That covenant that day was a finished work. He says, yes, but you don't see it the way I want you to see it. Oh, I said, well, show it to me. I said, give me, Abraham, put me in front of your face. Let me see it. He goes, you don't need that. I said, I do need it. So I'm having this conversation. He said, I already gave you what you needed. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I already gave it to you. I'm like, I don't understand. He goes, yeah, you have everything you need. Say everything you need. We're having this discourse, and I'm kind of standing in like a heavenly place where I'm talking to him like this. And all this is coming out. And suddenly I saw the book of Revelation. He said, that's not a book like you understand my word to be. That's a book that has already happened. That book has already been completed in your realm. You're waiting for it to happen. In my realm, it already happened. We've already done this. And then he recalibrated my understanding of what it meant to be finished. Are thy will be done, accomplished on the earth as it is accomplished in heaven, or done, finished, completed. And all of a sudden, the light came on. I'm like, why didn't I see that? He said, that wasn't a book of prophecy. It was a prophecy, but it was a different kind of prophecy. It would be classified as the sure word of prophecy, but even greater than that. Because Peter, when he comes out of the realm and says, sure word, he speaks of the second coming, but he don't give a whole lot of detail about it. When John comes out of the realm of book of Revelation, not only does he give detail, he gives something very specifically, the fact that he was a man on the earth that got caught up into the third heaven, but he got caught up in the face of God. He went into our time, or even in front of our time, because reality from chapter 5 on hasn't happened. Chapter 3, 4, 3.5, I mean, there's still two churches that have to forge in the last days before this is done. Church of Philadelphia and Laodicea. And suddenly, John, as you know, he gets caught up into this door. And he is walking, living, touching, tasting, talking, crying, weeping in a realm, a living realm that can only be found in the Father that is to come. If you even study the Bible, you won't hear the words very often, Alpha and Omega. That's all reserved for the last days, except for Isaiah, first and last. You don't hear Alpha and Omega until the book of Revelation. He goes, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm opening the Omega to you now. And he gets caught up in the Omega jurisdiction of the Father and him that is to come. And he walks out a living testimony of something that hasn't even happened yet. But in heaven, it already played out. I don't know how many times they play that over there. But it happened there. And it was already walked completely out all the way to the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. When the New Jerusalem would come into the earth. And not only was walked out, he was eyewitness. Say eyewitness. Do you believe that book is a part of the Word of God? If you believe that, raise your hand. If you believe that book is a part of the Word of God, then that book is like no other, because that book hasn't happened yet. And all the other ones have. But that one hasn't. But that one has been confirmed by a man that saw it in an eyewitness state in real time. It wasn't brought to him where he was like Daniel. And he comes to Daniel and they said, Daniel, open your eyes. Let me show you the future. That didn't happen. He plucked him out from where he was, dropped him into the future. And he walked it. Do you know that an angel had him come over, said, come over here and he says, eat this scroll. He is eating scrolls. He goes, this will be bitter. Sweet to your taste, but bitterness in your belly. Eat, weep. They would touch him and grab him and says, weep not, the lamb has prevailed. Open the book. He's talking to these people. And then he gets a journey into the future. Our future. He gets to walk into it real time. So when God says, thy will be done, when we're talking about this crown coming into the earth, and all these prophets that are supporting all these prophecies, they're supporting this book. Because this book is different. And you got to see that. Because this one was eyewitness. In real time, a future position, but done in heaven. Say finished, completed. Heaven is already completed the last days. That's awesome. Because that means all that is left is for it to set the earth into motion. He's going to complete it by the faith of his people in the last days. The crown is a whole lot easier to bring into the earth knowing that it's already done what we're asking it to do. It's going to be a whole lot easier to walk with it knowing that it's already finished, confirmed. It's like, I know you hear me, and I know we've always said these things, but the light came on. And when the light came on, it changed the way I prayed. Because the light came on, all of a sudden, wait a minute. When I start seeing what God wants me to say, he goes, I need to clothe you in this finished work, because this finished work is what you're bringing into the earth. To decree this will, my will, what is his will? His will is that all those chapters be fulfilled. His will is that he opens the book. And he crowns the church of Philadelphia. And he looses the white horse. And the kings and priests reign in the earth. His will is then he takes the church up. And then he releases the two eyewitnesses. And they wreak havoc. And they hold the Antichrist at bay for 3.5 years. I don't care what your doctrine is. They're coming. Praise God. And fire, man. They got all the mantle of Moses and Elijah with them. His will. I could prove to you it's Moses and Elijah themselves. I used to think it was their spirit. But it's Moses and Elijah. His will is they come. His will is that they are going to be, they're going to be killed in the street of Jerusalem, and their bodies are going to lay there for 3.5 days, and then they're going to be resurrected in front of the whole earth, and everybody's going to watch. Only cell phone technology would allow that to happen. Everybody's going to watch their resurrection, and suddenly Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to commit the abomination of desolation. You know when he does that? Is when the devil enters in, because Michael, right after that event, comes in and empties the entire second heaven. Every principality, every power, the devil himself. You know the one he took Jesus to and said, took him to the glory of the kingdoms of the earth. He says, all these are mine, I'll give them to you. That realm where he rules from, all that, everything gets thrown down into the earth. This is unconditional. Because it's been testified firsthand. And they all get thrown down in the air and said, why wouldn't it happen to the earth? The devil's coming on you, and immediately he inhabits the Antichrist's body. The Antichrist walks straight in, and the devil declares himself king in Jerusalem. His will is that he released 144,000 witnesses, and they prophesy for the last day. His will is then he comes in the battle of Armageddon, and he says, the Bible says he slays the kings of the earth with the sword of his mouth. We get to come back with him for that one. Amen. His will is he establishes his kingdom into the earth. His will is the kingdom of this world now. All have become the kingdoms of our God. And now he's going to sit and rule and reign for 1,000 years. His will is the Antichrist and the false prophet will be plucked from the earth in their body. The devil will be separated. He's thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the Antichrist and the false prophet get thrown into a lake of fire. They're the first to go. They get to live 1,000 years in there before hell gets emptied out 1,000 years later. His will has already been done. It's not going to happen in heaven. This is not going to happen here. When you come to this throne, we're not going to do this. We already did this. And that's what he meant. He goes, this is already completed. I'm like, whoa. We did this. He goes, all you got to do is just walk through the book of Revelation like I just did with you. Just walk through it and rehearse it. Because it's already been testified of as a living book, eyewitness testimony of a guy somehow got called to see it all. And God made it a permanent part of the Bible. It's the only part of the Bible like it. An eyewitness testimony that hadn't happened yet. One day we'll walk back and look at the book of Revelation and say, I was there when all that happened. I saw all that. We lived through all that. We got caught up. But we were part of the army of God, ruled and reigned with him. Yeah, we did all that. Eventually you'll get to say that, right? But he doesn't want you to wait. He wants you to say it now. Because in the face of God, now watch this, don't lose this. In the face of God, we're already kings. In the face of God, the church has already been crowned. Now the church does have to catch up with this stuff. But how's the church going to catch up when we're waiting for him to bring it here and he's waiting for us to enter in? So what he needs, say what he needs, is some people that understand how the face of God works. The face of God works with his word. There's no higher way to approach him than his word. And when you go up before the throne of God, I don't have to say, Father, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. See, that was a little cliche-ish for a long time, isn't it? Come on, it was. The finished work of the cross, I get it all. But now I got a little bit better revelation of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I can go walk out his will now. It's something happens when you do that. Well, how do you know? Because I've been doing it. And something's changing. Something's happening because I'm not just in thy will be done. He says, walk out. Go out there. Go out in my word. He goes, I give you permission to walk out in my word. I said, all right, let's walk. He goes, just do it like John did. You don't have to walk out every chapter. I don't care about all the blood and all that stuff. I just need the main point. The crowning of church for the run of the white horse. The two witnesses, 144,000 witnesses. I'm definitely going to rehearse the fact that the devil and all his fallen angels are going to cast down into the earth. Michael's going to unload. I definitely hear the angels saying, now the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God, and he will assume his great power. I definitely want to rehearse the 144,000 witnesses standing with him on Mount Zion when the big angels coming around giving them their message. I definitely want to rehearse the Battle of Armageddon. Why? Because I'm getting out in front with the crown. I want to rehearse the shaking of the nations. Because while I'm doing that, I can bring old Isaiah in. I can bring Zechariah in. I can bring Haggai in. I can bring them where I'm at, see. Because they're substantiating, because I'm just going to walk out what John did. As I do that, guess what you're doing? Perambulation. You're walking with God in a future position. Don't look now, but you are starting to walk out with the Father. Man, I want to get out in the glory because this is the glory realm. I want to get all the way to where he slays the kings of the earth. He calls the birds. He says, come eat the flesh of kings today. These wicked kings, they had so many times to bow. He gave them, even in Psalms 2, he said, kiss the Son while he can be found. Kiss him. I'm giving you time of grace, because if you don't, you're going to find his rod. These wicked people are going to get more and more wicked. They're going to get a cup of wrath that they have no idea. But it's because they never would give way to his grace. They're going to go through the whole ruling and reigning of the church age and rebuke the testimony of the church. So when he slays the kings of the earth with his mouth, then I want to stand in the 1,000-year millennial reign just for a moment anyway to know if we're going to rule and reign with 1,000-year clothed in the glory. There'll be people in the earth during that time. You know that. There's still, he'll repopulate the earth. But we're going to be here with him. I don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to work. He's going to set up his millennial reign. And then the devil's going to come out for 1,000 years. Then the Lord's going to throw him into the lake of fire. But all that is already, I know it's a hard concept, and this is what we got to get over, that this is already finished. From their perspective, that's why he gave the book. He's sitting there like telling me, why do you think I gave you the book? This is already done. It's already finished. John testified, walked it out with me in front of you. His eyewitness testimony gave it to you. It's finished. So when you pray, thy will be done. What part of that can't you get a hold of? You don't go that far. Just go to chapter 5 and 6. 4, 5, 6. 3, 4, 5, 6. Just be a Church of Philadelphia crowned saint king. That's enough. Why? Because that crowning has already happened. But here's what happens. So when you're doing this, when you're going in, something happens because you start walking out into a living book. So as I'm rehearsing this, something's happening in my spirit. As each time I do this, it's finished. It's finished. By the time I came out of that, I'm like, oh my God, this whole realm is done, because I got shifted into another realm. And this is what God wanted me to see. He said, when you birth from this realm, you got to get shifted into the realm. You don't have to wait for an encounter. Just walk up into an encounter that already is. And so as you walk out into already is, see, what is it? God, you don't think he's going to fulfill thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven? If you can identify his will in heaven, it is finished. This is the generation. We know we're the generation. I can get in alignment with what was already done. I can be like John and say, I have walked out the crown. Because what happens when you do it, something happens. It has been happening. As it's been happening, suddenly I'm getting clothed with this finished realm. And he goes, that's what I need. I don't want you just to know it's finished. That's just like knowing that he's your healer. But getting him to heal you and knowing he's your healer are two different things. Let me say it like this. He'll heal you. Learning the process by which he heals you and knowing he's your healer are two different things. We ain't all that. If we were, we'd be a lot fuller, I promise. Hallelujah. When we get to be all that, when we pray, it'll happen. Praise God. If not, let's keep learning. Just don't act like we're super spiritual and we know everything. I know I get up in that finished work, something happens, because now I'm in clothing something that's done. See, he has to get you clothed in the finished work, not just to know it's finished. I know the cross is a finished work, but I got to get clothed. And that's how you do it. I can walk right up in there, and each time I do it, I get clothed. But here's where it happens when you get back up in this jurisdiction. Man, you come up in here, and Kim said it the best. This was like the Father doing this. You know what he's doing? He's massaging us with the finished work. Authority, dominion, finished. Authority, dominion, finished. Authority, dominion, finished. You see that? So you come up in this realm. When I look in this realm, I'm like, wait a minute. None of this realm lines up with where I just was. Because where I was is finished. You can start commanding this realm now. That's where authority comes from. That's ultimately what's going to start bringing it up into this jurisdiction. I don't know still, I'll be honest with you, whether we're bringing it up in here or we're bringing this jurisdiction up there or we're going to meet somewhere in the middle, but it's going to mirror where we're at. This realm, but it's going to mirror this one. We're going to behold him in the mirror over here, and we're going to bring this realm that's finished, done, completed, because God gave us a book like no other book. He gave us a finished book under eyewitness testimony of a man who was walking in the earth that got caught up. That is the highest testimony given to man. And if we get clothed enough, we get to exercise the kind of faith that God's looking for. This is the faith that comes out from the face of God. This is what Abrahamic faith was. That's the kind of faith that'll shift the generation. Because it's going to either bring heaven here or bring here into heaven, but something is going to change. This realm is going to look like that realm. And God just basically wanted us to know that that realm is not just a realm. It's done. It's already been lived out. And that's why the book was given. It was lived out for us as finished. So the next time we started out finished, know that it is finished. And when you start praying, thy will be done on earth, now you have a little bit more perspective of what it means as in heaven. And that change your perspective a little bit, because that realm is done. Finished, walked out, testified, written, all of the testimonies there. That's awesome-tacious. Father, thank you for your words today, the glory of your words today, that we continue in your word. We shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free all the way to the demonstration, all the way to the glory. Do you realize you're going to get to leave something before you just get caught up, don't run to the woods and say, catch me up. You're going to leave a testimony in this generation. A baton gets passed. Say, listen, we've already walked out where you're going. Here, boom. When we leave the earth, we will have left a testimony that's far beyond us. We will have set something in the earth and brought something to the earth. It was already in heaven, and that thing's going to keep going when we go on up. Somebody else is going to take the charge. The crown's going to keep on going.